This is sort of the awkward Sunday of the year that we transition from being grateful to really just hoping we get cool crap at Christmas. But even though this is December 1st, and I know this is going to shock you, Kate, but I've lost connection. It always happens right as we begin, but we're going to get this going here. even though this is the 1st of December, I think, and I'm actually counting on the fact that we can still be grateful even though it's not November anymore. And actually, we have one more week of this series. And so I want to sort of go back through some of the things we've talked about over there. Oh, here we go. It's going to be a good day. So we're ending up our On the Other Hand Turkey series. And I got to tell you, I am going to miss this. Not just because we had, I think we have the real hand turkey here with us. It's pretty impressive, but this has been so much fun. But also, I realized, at least in my life, that, wow, gratitude is something that you don't necessarily think is life-changing, but man, it sort of affects every part of our world positively. Like, there's so many things in life that sort of have a downside, or it's the medication that we see on TV, and it's like, you know, this will help your indigestion, but it leads to, you know, violent diarrhea and possible death. And you're like, I don't know that that's worth it. But gratitude is not that thing. It's like one of those things that it's like, it just seems to have no downside. It makes us happier. It makes us better people. And quite frankly, it makes us better people to be around. And so I'm just, of all the things in the world, one thing I've really thought about this month as we've been doing this is like, wow, this is something, this idea of living gratefully, or as the Bible says, being thankful in all circumstances. And that's really what gratitude is being thankful in all circumstances, not just the ones that work out the way we plan, not just when everything's going perfect, not just when, you know, like anybody can be happy on those days. Anybody can be happy when the Thanksgiving meal goes just as planned and everybody gets along and like you're freaking Uncle Randy shows up on time for once and everything goes perfectly. Oh, I can be thankful. But what the Bible talks about and what science is actually sort of catching up to the Bible on is if we can figure out how to be thankful all the time, like life is so much better. And I've said it every week, but it just shocks me like how much information we're finding just even in research about like people's health, how much gratitude, how the difference between a patient in a hospital who is just sort of angry that they're ill and how they recover versus a person's like, oh, I'm really thankful that they caught this and I'm thankful that we have, you know, medical assistance and I'm thankful that I have insurance. The people that are grateful actually, we find, just do so much better, even in surgery recovery. And so that's pretty, and now, so far, what we've done is we've just been asking questions. And these questions actually help us on that path of being happier, better people, and better people to be around. And so a couple weeks ago, we started out and we started asking this question, am I hoping or am I expecting? Because those are two very different things. They're very close in the dictionary, but super different in practice. Like, because hoping is wonderful, like hoping for something to happen, hoping to be fulfilled with your children, or hoping that this job that you got is going to be the career path that's going to set you up all the way through retirement. That's wonderful. Hope for those things. Or hoping that when you graduate from college, like you're going to find fulfillment in your career that you've chosen. All of those things. Or hoping that being married is going to fill that empty spot that you have and you just look forward to it forever. All of those things are great. But when we turn that into expectation, when we put sort of a expiration date on our hope and we go, when I have this kid, I better feel great about it in the first week. They better fulfill me. And then we find out, oh, on the other hand, whoo, this kid never sleeps. And who knew there'd be so many doctor bills? And who knew they'd have allergies? Who knew? You know. And so expectation, hoping, big deal. And I hope you've been asking that question. I know I have. And then this one, the second question dealt with entitlement. What am I owed really? You know, like we tend to think we're owed everything. We tend to think we're owed an apology or owed respect or, hey, I'm owed benefits with my company or, hey, I'm owed, and all of those things. Like when we stop to think about it and we stop sort of, and it ties into the expectation versus hope thing, we begin to realize that in life we're not owed nearly as much as we think. It changes our outlook. And it really moves us away from being entitled people. And entitlement, oh, and we know this from our kids. Like, there's nothing sort of, like, we love our children more than anything in the world, but, like, an entitled kid is called a spoiled kid, and they stink. Like, we don't like being around people who are entitled, and we certainly don't want to be those people. And so that question helps us when we go, you know, I want that. And it's okay to hope for that, but that person really doesn't owe me this thing that I think they do. And then a couple weeks ago, we also talked about, what if I switch places? This empathy part. And this empathy part is so important when it comes to gratitude. Because so many times we get upset and we feel like that we didn't get what we deserved, or this person didn't treat us in the way that we should be treated. And that's sort of entitlement and sort of hope versus expectations, but it's really a lack of empathy. It's really a lack of thinking, like, if I were in their situation, what would that be like? It's the old walk a mile in someone's shoes, and you realize, like, that's a terrible statement. Like, now I have their shoes and they're a mile away and it's going to be a hassle. Like, I don't really know how that works, but honestly, it's like, that is the thing. Like, we need to walk a mile in someone's shoes. We need to think, like, if I were in that situation, if I was going through what they were going, if I was, you know. And it's so funny, like, as parents, it's so funny, like, you know, I'm 51 now, and I just realized the other day, like, I got a 16-year-old daughter. I'm like, oh, I don't know when it happened. Like, at a certain point, like, I forgot what it's like to be 16. I can't relate to it at all. And I think, like, well, no big deal. Just go drive and get in college and do the things you're supposed to. And it's like, oh, that was traumatic when I was 16. That's so difficult. But I just got old and forgot. And so what we need to do as people and as parents and as bosses and employees is begin to have empathy. Now, last week, we sort of paused, and that was so much fun. And I had such a great time just seeing what happened with that. And thank you, ladies, for making it happen, Ken and crew. I was like, we just bought a couple cheap trophies and wanted to see what would happen. And it was just magical, kind of like going, oh. It reminded me of things I didn't even know, or like of things that people did, and reminded us all that, man, we should be so grateful for the people of Action Church. And it was so cool to give away awards, like, for people that probably never even get noticed for all the amazing things they do. But the reason why we did that, and you're going to see that today, is we took inventory just to sort of remind us of all the things we have, because this week our question, we sort of needed that. We needed an inventory, and maybe not like a complete inventory, but at least a reminder. Because this week's question is, what about all that I've already been given? Now, the clip that we rolled in on, I just loved it, and thanks to Will for sending it to me, Will Fenton, because it perfectly makes that point, right? Like, we think of gifts as just being like the stuff under the tree, but what if you woke up and you realized, like, most of the things that we have are gifts? And so it made me think about, you know, he was like making a big deal about, like, we have clean water. You and I never think about that. We're just angry if the faucet drips, or, like, you know, like, the water bill's more than $32. Like, how's it more than $32 for me to have pressurized water in my house? You know, and occasionally I have to replace a hot water heater. Ooh, that's, you know, but I mean, we don't think about that. I was reading some statistics this week. Not 790 people don't have running water. 790 million people don't have clean running water right now in our world. That's 11% of the population. Like, 90% of us have clean water, but 11% still don't have access to water. Says an estimated 1.8 billion people, 25%. Of the population don't have access to proper sanitation. That means toilets. Like, 25%, that seems crazy. Like, we can't even imagine America. We're like, I'm just mad if two of the bathrooms are taken and I have to go to the third one. I mean, come on. What's, you know, it's like, that's just amazing to think about. And we don't think about that ever. Like, the only time at least I think about water is when, like, something's leaking or something's broken or something. That's the only time. And then it's like, why don't I have this thing that I just depend on? One thing I think we should do as a church that I've been, and we don't have money to do this. We don't have any of the, you know, all the, this is not me going, hey, we're ready to do this right now, but I think we should, is we have opportunity to give a well to people in Africa at a church. And so that the church would be able to provide clean water to thousands of people around, and it's $2,500. We don't have an extra $2,500 right now, but I think that we could show our gratitude for water by doing that. We're going to talk more about that this month. But this is a mindset change, isn't it? It's a mindset change because you and I, when we struggle with gratitude, when we go through sort of the questions and we're like, oh, am I expecting or am I hoping? Or, you know, like, what if I switch places? What am I owed really? Like, we generally don't keep score of the stuff we've already received. Like, we generally think, like, I didn't get what I expected now. And for some reason, our personal accounting method doesn't include any of the other great things that have happened in our life. It's weird, isn't it? Like somehow our personal accounting method is we remember all the times we've been slighted, all the times we've been disappointed, all the times, oh my goodness, we didn't get what we paid for, or oh my goodness, Amazon shipped this. Sure, they shipped 72 boxes to me a week, but this one, oh, it was totally wrong. It wasn't even the right thing. Amazon sucks. It's like we can remember all of those things because we're human and we love negative stuff, but it's weird how our personal accounting method, we struggle with remembering like all of the times Amazon shipped the right package, or all the times we turned on the water faucet and it didn't leak, and all the times the washing machine worked, and all of the times the car started, and all the time that person did that wonderful thing for you, but you don't remember because today they forgot to pick up the kids from school, so they're idiots, and it's just sort of amazing. So I thought like what we could do to think about this is this last question, and here's why we saved it to last, is it sort of affects all of the other questions. Like let's take the first question, you know, am I hoping or expecting? What if we turned that into a statement and we use sort of this accounting method where we remembered things that we've already been given and says, what about all the things that I shouldn't really expect? I mean, like, sure, I'm not getting what I expect now. Sure, I'm feeling ungrateful and I'm feeling grumpy because this person didn't come through, or they didn't do what they said, or I'm not being treated in the way I thought, or I'm being hassled when I shouldn't be, or my kids just don't appreciate me, or they don't respect me. But what about, like, if we could sort of keep track, go, okay, and sort of put a balance sheet together or a spreadsheet and go, yeah, but what about all the things that I have in my life that I shouldn't really expect? Like, you know, we all got up and turned on water at some point today, and we didn't go, oh, it's great to be an American. Like, how did this happen? We just go, yeah, the water works again. Like, come on. And so what if we thought like that? What if we begin to take into account when we're feeling ungrateful or we're feeling entitled or we're feeling grumpy, like, oh, what about all the things? And it works for all the questions. What about all the things that I've received that I haven't really earned? And let me tell you, I struggle with this because I'm a redneck, and as a redneck, I like to do everything and fix everything, and I've made that with my own hands and all of those things. But man, let me tell you, even as probably the dumbest guy in the world, this really strikes you when you realize, like, where did I get the ability to do this? I got, you know, 10, 11 years now when I first got diagnosed with arthritis. And I remember like thinking, and I'm so grateful looking back, like I'm still working, I'm spraying houses for a living, and I use my hands every day and build everything. But when I realized like, yeah, I can build everything with my own hands, but who gave me these hands? You know, there's so many things like that. Like, we think like, oh, I did this, or I built this, or I earned this, or I'm the one who saved that up, and then we bought this. Yeah, I get that. And I'm not taking anything away from that. Like, I love that kind of stuff. I love personal achievement, and I love, like, do-it-yourself. I'm a DIY guy. But there's so many things, if we're honest with ourselves. Like, yeah, we're smart people, and yeah, we can make a plan, and yeah, we're disciplined, but where'd we get the brain? Like, how come we have a brain that can do that? Like, we didn't earn that. Like, our intelligence and our abilities and our genetic makeup, that's on this hand. That's the hand we're dealt. There's nothing we can do about that. Like, you didn't choose your parents, and you didn't choose their genetic background, and you didn't choose your level of intelligence, and you didn't choose even your medical history, you know, like what you would be allergic to and what you'd be able to do, and whether you have fast twitch muscles or slow twitch muscles, or whether you have a set point that tends to make you be able to eat everything at Thanksgiving and never gain a pound, and we hate you so much. I mean, sorry. But like, that kind of thing like happens. But, or maybe you can't eat anything at Thanksgiving and you gain 72 pounds and you're just like, that's not fair, but we didn't choose any of that. And so if we're honest, and if we are forced to, like I was forced to, and I realized, like, I may not be able to use my hands forever. I will admit, I didn't handle that well. I cried at my counter like a big baby, like, because it was so scary. Like, what if I can't? Because then you realize, like, oh, wait a minute. Like, there are things that I didn't earn, things that I was given. And even though, you know, like, hey, I'm responsible, and hey, I'm doing all these, oh, but all of us have those things. And then here's the last one that I think we should think about. And this one's going to be a little twist. Because when you and I think about being grateful, I think we think of it like this. Like, we think, okay, what if I switch places? The thought that most of us would have when it comes to that, and we think about like what we've already been given, the thought would be, in most of our minds, would be, okay, empathy. What if I switch places with people who don't have what I have, right? Isn't that what we think? Like, okay, I have running water, so what if I switch places with someone, you know, in Africa that, you know, needs a well? Like, we can't even imagine that. Like, that's the thought we have, and that's empathy, and that's not a bad thing. Not a bad thing. What if I switch places with someone who didn't have a job that made the kind of money that I do? What if I switch places? Like, I've got too many kids. What if I switch places with someone who wanted kids? Like, that's the way I don't have too many kids. I got just the right amount. They're perfect. But anyway, like, you know, we all think, like, what if I switch places with someone who wasn't married? Like, what if I switch places with someone who didn't have a career? You know, and we think like that, and we go, oh, that's being grateful. That's okay, but you realize that's not it, right? That's not the right question. What we should say is, what if we switch places, not with people who don't have the gift I've given, because we really can't do anything about that unless we can give them what we have, but if we're really being empathetic and we're really understanding gratitude, I think the right question is, what if I switch places with the person who gave me this gift? Think about that. Like, because you've given gifts, right? You've given gifts to people. What would you want them to do to show their gratitude? What would you want them to do? Like, you give someone an amazing gift this Christmas, or let's not make it about Christmas, because that becomes like maybe you were on the list or you had to or it was an exchange, but you gave someone something amazing. What if it's even like you paid for an education for your kid, or you bought a car for someone who needed a car in the family, or you gave them something that you had? That happens all the time. People go, hey, I gave them our extra car because they didn't have a car. Now, how would you want them to show their gratitude? And I think if you think about it, you really don't want them to feel guilty. That's not helpful, is it? Like, oh, I know they're grateful, you know, for this amazing gift I gave them, because they're at home feeling really guilty right now. That's not what you want, is it? That's not what you want at all. And I was thinking about that. Like, I think we've been asking the wrong question, because when we just use our empathy to think, like, what if this person didn't have this thing that I have? They don't have the running water or the education or the car or the financial backing, or they don't have children like I have children, or they don't have a house like I have a house, or they don't have, you know, 3.2 bathrooms, or they don't have a 2-car garage, or all the things that I've been given, even if I work from them because I didn't build these hands. Just having empathy for people who don't have them and feeling guilty about it really doesn't show our gratitude to the one who gave them. Because think about it, like, if you paid for someone's education, some of you have paid for kids' college education, how would you like them to show their gratitude? And you go, well, thank you would be nice. Yeah, it would. But that's not really how they would show their gratitude. Like, wouldn't it be great? And wouldn't you feel good about your gift if they went out and did something amazing with it, right? Like, wouldn't you feel good? And here's the whole entitlement question. Like, some of you kids here are going, well, I thought I was owed an education. Oh, no, you are not. It is a gift. So here's the gift, and if you gave them an education, or you gave them a car, or you gave them a house, I mean, you gave them something, how would they show their gratitude? It would be, what if they did something amazing with it? What if they showed their gratitude by actually putting it into use? And that's what Scripture says. I want to read something from 2 Corinthians 9, and it's so interesting because the Bible has, I think, a totally different take on showing gratitude than our culture does right now. And this is, just to kind of set this thing up, this is Paul collecting money. So this is basically like Paul doing collections. And I can't relate to this, but I can in the fact that I am so terrible at collecting. Like, I couldn't even, like, I was the kid that you gave me the candy bars when I was in, you know, grade school and said, go sell them. And at the end, we just owed money because I had either eaten them or not got the money or lost them. And so Paul's much better than I would be at this. But Paul is basically, he has people in Jerusalem that are Christians that are, they're just starving. And they've been run out of their homes and they've been persecuted by beyond any belief. And they need everything. Like, we got a tree full of people who need Christmas gifts. And I think that's so important. And this is a way of showing God's love. And as we'll see, it's a biblical idea. But that ain't that. This isn't like, hey, I'd like to have, you know, a Nerf gun. This is like, I'd like to have a place to live. And so Paul is collecting money and he's writing to the Corinthian church, the church at Corinth. And Corinth is kind of cool because it's like America in the sense, like, yes, it's a lot older, but it's a secular society. They like are just, they're bonkers. It's like Las Vegas all the time there. But yet they have this church and people are coming to Christ and completely turning their lives around. And so Paul writes to them and said, hey, and it's not like you could PayPal money then or you could swipe a card. He's like, I'm coming. I'm sending guys there, you know, with like money buckets and I need the money to fill up and bring back to Jerusalem. And so he's writing them a letter to remind them. He said, so I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me, because they're delivering the letter, to make sure the gift you promised is ready. But I want it to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly. Remember this. And he uses this analogy, which is really smart. He said, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. That's sort of like where we got the idea that we have money boxes and, you know, you swipe a card and we tell you how to do it, but we don't pass something around, which has probably cost us a lot of money over the years because you sort of feel like when the plate goes past, you got to throw something in it, you know, like even if it's just your like folded up, you know, receipt from Starbucks, like you'll throw something in it because you don't want to be the guy that passed it by, but this is what Paul was saying and kind of where Action Church got that idea of going, hey, we want people to give and we need people to give. Like everything that we do depends on people giving, but I don't want it to be out of like, oh, I had to pay the bill. It's like it should be because you want to be part of that. And that's what Paul's saying. This is where we got the idea. It said, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. See, the idea that Scripture teaches us is so interesting, and I think in light of like our study of gratitude, because it's exactly the opposite of just feeling guilty because you have something that someone else doesn't. It's the exact opposite of going, oh, I got to feel bad because of my privilege, or I got to feel bad because, you know, my parents paid for my college, or I have to feel bad because, you know, like I was given this, or I have the ability that others don't, or I have to feel bad because I have this great paying job. It's like, no. We are grateful to God and we give him the credit. And then it said, God generously provides all we need. And then we have everything we need. And then plenty left over, and he doesn't say, and plenty left over to like store up at a storage unit somewhere, or just buy, he's like, then we share with others. So it's this thing that we do where it's like a pattern that God uses, like we're grateful, and then we think, how should we show our gratitude? Like, if I were giving a gift to someone and I gave them a gift of a car, or I gave them an education, or I gave them, I don't care, a unicycle, like, how should they show their gratitude? Probably not for the unicycle, but like something, I wouldn't want them at home feeling guilty about it. I would want them using it to do something amazing, and wouldn't it be great? Like, this would be beyond anything I could imagine, and I would feel super great if they were using it and sharing it with others. I mean, my goodness, like, wouldn't any of us here that have children not love to see our kids do that with anything we give them? And the answer is no, that's the truth. And so it goes on, it says, as the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and bread to eat. In the same way, he'll provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from his ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. See what Paul says? And what scripture says throughout is these gifts we have, these gifts that we get, and we go, if I'm honest, I didn't really earn that. Yeah, I put it into action, and yeah, I did my work, and yeah, I sweated a little, and I worked hard, but yeah, without the startup money, or without these two hands, or without the brain power, or without the health. I mean, as you get older, you realize, like, oh, if I didn't have the health, I wouldn't be able to do any of this. And so God gives us, if you're a Christian this morning, like, we acknowledge that God gave us those things. And then the second thing, like, our society would say, oh, then you need to feel guilty. Or, oh, then you need to vote for me. Or, oh, then you should do this because I'm telling you this is what you should do. No, no, no. What the Bible would say is, no, then you need to be generous. And notice this, it says, then we will take your gifts to those who need them, and they will thank God. Like, God gets the credit for the gift he gave us. And if you think about it, like, that would be the ultimate way of showing gratitude, wouldn't it? Like, if you, just putting yourself in the place of someone who gave, and I keep using the education thing, but it happens all the time, and we don't think about this. Like, you give someone that nursing degree, or you give someone that, you know, accounting degree. I don't even know. You can tell I didn't finish college because actually I had two scholarships and stopped going. So kids, do not do that. You'll wind up painting houses, but that's what will happen to you. But I mean, think about it. So you give your kids that education. Let's say you do that. And then wouldn't it be great if they did something amazing with it and they go, oh, I'm so grateful to my parents. And maybe someone came up to you and go, you know what? Your son worked on me and you know, he did surgery on this arm. And because of your son and because then like now I can use my hand and I'm so grateful that you provided that. Like, I know that's never going to happen in our world. But imagine, like, wouldn't that be like the best way that you could imagine they show their gratitude rather than just like, oh, they felt guilty a lot because they got the, you know? And so that's what I was thinking, like, just sitting around and feeling guilty or feeling like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm privileged. If you're a Christian, it's kind of ungrateful in a way. Because who gave you that privilege? Who gave you that gift? Who gave you that health? Who gave you the ability to do? If you're a Christian, you have to go, oh, it wasn't me, and it wasn't the government, it was God. And so if I just sort of stew in that and feel bad about that, like our culture would say, oh, I'm missing the point. Like, I should be so grateful to God, and I should want to do something. And so that's the message of the scripture. I think it's so powerful because it's different than anything you'll hear anywhere. It's like the answer to your good fortune, to the fact that you're blessed, to the fact, like, when you took inventory, and we're going to take some inventory today, like, oh, like, I am so blessed and I have so many things to be grateful for. And the answer to that is not to feel guilty. What scripture says is be generous. Now, we're going to do something right now, which you're not going to, I don't think we've ever done this in Acton Church, but it gave me this idea. Bailey made me a hand turkey, and it's adorable, and I'm going to take it home after today. Thank you, Bailey. But just being honest, I'm I'm not saying I can do a better hand turkey than this, but I want you to notice this. I can make a bigger one. This is way bigger, Bailey. I don't want you to feel bad, but I've been given the gift of big, like, catcher's mitt hands. They're big, beautiful, perfect hands. I don't know why I'm saying. Anyway, that was bad. Yeah, but I think we should do a craft. So if you have one at your table, or if you want to grab one, or you want to take one home, I thought, you know what? What we should do is, like, you can make your own hand turkey. You can do it right there while we talk. Or you can take one home, and I know your kids bring you stuff from Action Church, and they hang it on the fridge. And here's what I want you to tell them. Mine's way bigger. So, while you're doing that, I actually have a guest this morning, I think. Is Noah going to come up here and talk to me this morning? Nope. Okay, he decided not to. Well, I want to tell you a story then, because I think this illustrates perfectly, and Michelle told me because his grandmother called me. Remember, Noah, if you were here in the summer, we baptized Noah in the parking lot. And Noah's come up through Action Kids, I don't know how long, it's been since he was a little guy. And, you know, here we are as adults, and we have to remind ourselves that because I'm blessed, I could be generous, and I could show my gratitude to God by being generous. But you know what's so cool about Noah? I should know his age. Can someone scream out his age? 31. I'm really bad with ages of kids. Like, I'll go, I think he's less than 30. I don't know. But anyway, he's 8 years old. And nobody had to tell him to be generous. And you know what? Noah doesn't have the gifts that you and I have. Like, I don't know what he's pulling down as a second through seventh grader, because I'm really bad with also grades of children. I'm guessing it's not a lot. But you know what Noah said, and he told his grandmother, and then he showed me his list today, and it just breaks my heart. He's like, there are some kids in my school who are either homeless or don't have good homes, and they need help. Are you coming, bud? Do you want to talk to us? You don't have to. Come up here, man. Come up here and bring your list. We were talking about your list that you're making. Who are you making this list for?
Homeless kids. In need.
Homeless kids in need. And I love the fact that you drew all these pictures. What are some things that you think that these kids need and you're getting for them?
Backpacks, stuffed toys, crayons and markers and colored pencils, drawing books and drawing pads and books, snacks, fruit, cards.
Dude, that is awesome. I see a hat down there and some mittens.
Board games.
How did you get this idea, Noah? Why did you decide that you should give them? Because...
And toothpaste. and a toothbrush. And vanishes.
Okay, so you're going to finish the list. That's cool. Go ahead.
Small... Blankets and pillows.
Okay.
And gloves, hats, and socks.
Thank you. Now, how did you get this idea, though? That's what I'm so curious about. Like, what made you think, like, I should help these kids?
Because it's about to be Christmas, and there's lots of snow, and it'll be really cold. So I think they should have stuff because they might not be traveling a lot because there's lots of snow, and don't be really cold. So I thought we might give them stuff for in homeless places that they give a little room to stay in.
Perfect.
So that's my thought, to give them all that stuff.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I was telling them, Noah, we baptized you out in the parking lot this summer. Why did we do that?
Because, what was it?
Who did you follow?
Jesus, and God.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. Thank you. All right, Noah, thank you very much. I just wanted to give you an example that you don't have to be super accomplished. You don't have to be older. You don't have to be like, hey, someday I'm going to have a great job, and then I'm like, it starts now. Thank you, Noah. Is there anything else you want to tell them about your list? Are you good to go?
Can I tell you one more thing?
Okay.
Thank you for being here.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Noah. You can go down. Thank you very, very much. I just wanted you to meet Noah. And here's the deal. Like, it's so funny. Like, hey, we've got way more on that tree than we know what to do with. And it's a stretch for us because there's 175 gifts. And my goodness, I think now it looks like after all the work and all the people taking stuff and all the people bringing back, it looks like there might be 185 on there now. I think there's actually more on there. And it stresses me out a little bit, like all of these kids need something. And so I need you to step up and do that. But I just wanted to show you like how natural it really is. And here's the deal, like he has that list and like if you want to approach him and do that, but here's the thing, as a church, Michelle is going to help and his grandmother are going to help and we've given money from the church because we go, let's just keep working on the tree because we need to make sure we meet that obligation and we meet that opportunity rather. But as a church, because you give and because we have some ability to do something, we're going to help him in that dream. But it's not just us doing it for Noah, because Noah's making it happen. Noah's doing it with or without us. We're just blessed to jump on. And I wanted you to just experience that. I want the guys to come up and play one more song. But I want to read to you something, lest you go, hey, Don, I did my inventory, and I've earned everything I've got, and I'm only expecting things that I'm actually owed, and you know I did all of this, and I get that. You might feel like that. You'd be wrong, but you might feel like that. But here's one thing I know that you can't say you've earned, and I want to read it, because this is how Paul finished. Not how I would finish the sermon, but how Paul said. He said, yes, you will be enriched in every way, so that you can always be generous. And you might go, well, I don't feel like I've been enriched. You have been because you're American. We all have. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. He's like, this is amazing because you know who's going to get the gratitude? I mean, yes, I'm sure they're going to say thanks to you, but they're going to thank God. And so two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met. Like, that's important. They need stuff. And they will joyfully express their thanks to God. And as a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. That's how we prove it. That's how people know. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace as God has given to you. And then he says something that we should none of us forget. Like we go, oh, look what I did. Or, oh, look what I bought three gifts. Or I gave to this. He said, no. We should thank God for his gift that's too wonderful for words. Because here's the thing that none of us can do. As good as you are, and as smart as you are, and as hardworking as you are, and as disciplined as you are, none of us make it off this planet alive. And the only plan I know that makes sense to me, at least, and I'm a guy who paints houses, but I've looked at a lot of the plans, and it makes sense to me that if a guy like Jesus had come back and he proves that there's something out there, and he proves that there's something after death, long after it's guaranteed he's dead, 3 days, not 30 seconds or 30 minutes on a table like you see a movie about. Like, Jesus is dead, and he comes back, and he goes, here's the plan. And we get to be part of it. Oh, my goodness. How thankful and how grateful we should be for that. And. What should that motivate us to do? So what about all the stuff I've already been given? And it's not just education and running water and hands and like health and all the things you might think. Like those are all important. And man, I hope you make a hand turkey. And please, if you hang it on your fridge, send us a pic on Facebook and Mercedes will post that. It should be fun. I don't even know how Facebook works. It's probably automatic. I sounded like a 51-year-old guy who's not on Facebook. But anyway, send us your pics. We'd love to have them. But at the bottom it says things I'm grateful for. And so I hope you'll continue on this month, but also hope that it'll motivate you. And I'm not just, this sermon isn't just like, I wasn't even supposed to preach this week. Like it's not, the sermon is not so we can get the gifts off the tree. I really feel like as a church, we've never failed at doing that, at being generous. We'll do that. Going to take you taking some today though, because we only got two more weeks after this. But this is about something way bigger. It's about living a life of gratitude and stop sort of dealing with this nonsense that we're at, that when we get a gift, we just feel guilty and we feel like we're doing something. That's nothing. What about all the stuff I've already been given? And what that should motivate us to do is be, as Paul said, like generous people that cause people to thank God. And here's the thing I know about Action Church and churches all over the world. It's the only method I know to do that. Like, and I'm about other ministries and other things. Because here's the thing, he said part of the point is that we get people stuff. Like people need food, people need stuff. Governments do that. Nonprofits do that. That's awesome. Like that's important, but that's only part of the equation. He said, but really, what should happen beyond that, and only the church and only ministries are going to do this, and that's why we want to be part of that, is they don't just go, hey, I'm glad I have a Christmas present, or I'm glad I have water, or I'm glad I have medical bills paid. He said, what if? Like we could sort of leverage that and turn that into people thanking God, not us, thanking God. Like that would be the ultimate way that we could show our gratitude for all that we've been given. So let's pray together. Dear Jesus, God, I pray for everyone who's here today and everyone who's watching online. There's not a single person, no matter how bad their week is, no matter how difficult their situation here is in America in 2019, that hasn't been blessed beyond probably 99% of the world throughout the ages. We have so much. God, we are grateful. And God, even if it's not material things, God, we're grateful for our health. We're grateful for our hands. We're grateful for the mental ability you give us, for the creativity, for so many things that we just didn't earn. But God, most of all, we must just admit that we're not going to make it out of here alive, that we're sinful people. And that God, without Jesus and without his sacrifice, we really only have just death to look forward to. And so God, I'm so grateful, and I pray that you would turn our gratitude into generosity just across the board, not just here at Action Church, but like Noah gave us the example today, in our schools and our homes and in our places of businesses. God, let us be generous people that bring glory to God everywhere we go. In your name we pray, amen.